Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Twisted is the Crown by Kel Carpenter and Lucinda Dark. Narrated by Amy McFadden. These violent delights have violent ends, and in their triumph die, like fire and powder, which as they kiss, consume. William Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet, Act 2, Scene 6. Chapter 1. Cold Welcome. If those you seek do not answer the door when you come calling, it is unwise to enter without invitation. Quinn Darkova, vassal of House Fierte, Fear Twister, White Raksasa. A battle cry echoed amidst the fighting. Quinn frowned when a 15-year-old waif of a girl came flying over the deck of the ship. Axe clung to the rope with one hand and brandished her hatchet in the other. Blood splatter covered her youthful face as she swung, dropping slightly as she extended her arm, the blade sliding across an enemy's throat as she passed. She pumped the fisted weapon in the air, screaming, "Yahoo!" at the top of her lungs. Quinn shook her head, pressing the notch on her staff for it to extend. The hidden compartment slid out just as someone approached from behind. A hulking shadow loomed over her. She pivoted, swinging the blunt end up. A masculine hand clamped down on the end, as if anticipating her move. "Maiori's wrath!" he cursed, stepping out of the shadows. Quinn quirked an eyebrow as Draven said, "Watch what you're doing with that thing!" Quinn rolled her eyes, swinging it back around to hit someone behind her without turning. There was a grunt before a thump hit the deck. "You were saying?" she replied, examining the newly pointed end of her staff, now gleaming with some fool's blood. She rather liked the look.
"Yeah, yeah."
"Duck!" he shouted. She dropped to her knees just as his sword came from the side, cutting directly where her neck had just been. Another thump followed, and Quinn grimaced. "They're not going to stop!" she yelled up to him as the fighting continued. Silver-haired men and women had descended upon their ship with an intent to kill, but they hadn't predicted the group that awaited them. She and Draven worked in tandem, cutting down soldiers. For every one they managed to put down, another two took their place on deck. Axe swung back and forth, single-handedly decapitating the Inskari left and right. Quinn knew she was good with the hatchets, but she had to give it to her. Axe was better at protecting herself in a real fight than Quinn thought she would be. Still, the crew they'd brought was quickly dwindling, and neither Lazarus nor Vaughn or Dominicus were anywhere to be found.
"I don't understand why they're attacking us to begin with," Draven shouted back over the wind.
She came and spun around, her attention sliding to the group of ships that surrounded them.
"Because Lazarus is an idiot," she muttered to herself.
She glanced back at Draven, and the expression he was giving her said he heard it.
"What are you—"
he broke off, sidestepping halfway around her to stab some other Inskari that had foolishly approached them with little to no stealth. The ship rocked harder, swaying dangerously in the icy waters, making it difficult to balance as the waves churned unnaturally fierce for the clear skies. Quinn narrowed her gaze on the horizon.
Could it be?
"He sent a letter, but he never got a reply. The Inskari are attacking because we haven't been invited," she told him as water splashed the deck from the rough seas below.
"What?"
he bellowed back, spinning her around so that her back touched his.
"You've got to be—"
"Kidding?" she offered helpfully, twirling the staff to conk one person on the head and break another's neck with a hard blow. "We're under attack and surrounded from all sides. Do you have a better explanation?" The only response she got was a growl. Bodies dropped around them as they slowly made their way toward the helm. Quinn peered over the side at the ship directly to their right. On the edge of the dock, two women stood, their hands moving in carefully calculated movements. The blue light they gave off was undeniable. Water weavers.
"Poats," she cursed. "Draven, they're going to put us under. We need to find—"
Her words broke off as she stared down the length of the ship. Lazarus stood there among the chaos, slowly beginning to unbutton his shirt, the dark swirls of his tattoos branded into his skin,
beneath his flesh, becoming visible. Their gazes clashed, and in his expression she saw that he knew the consequences his impending actions would have. Any chance of an alliance was already scarce. If he revealed what he was... Quinn shook her head, and Lazarus stilled, paying more attention to her than the two approaching behind him. She made a snap decision.
"Quinn, what are you..."
Draven started, struggling to keep the Horde at bay from taking command of the ship.
"Grab the helm," she told him.
"What? I'm a little busy."
"I said, grab the god's damned helm," she shouted,
and in a quieter voice she added,
"I'm going to try something."
Draven dove out of the way to catch the spinning wood. He stopped it at the same moment she pivoted and pointed. A wave of fear erupted from her veins, blasting through the line of attackers trying to make their way toward her. Screams echoed into the early morning as the sun started to rise. Quinn didn't block the light because she wanted them to see. All of them. The group she'd attacked dropped to the floor, their gazes unfocused, their bodies frozen in a catatonic state. It bought Quinn time to do the only thing she thought might be able to stop this before it was too late. She lifted her staff in the air and shouted in Enskaran,
"Silence!"
The soldiers on deck stilled, all heads twisted in her direction as Quinn grabbed onto their fear and held them fast. Even if they wanted to move, they wouldn't be able to.
"Who are you?"
one of the men started in Enskaran.
"Quinn?"
a woman called out in their language.
"Quinn Darkova!"
Several heads turned, including her own comrades. Quinn glanced down at her face, recalling a girl not much older than herself at the time, a girl born to a lower family and without any magical talent of her own. Quinn searched her memories for a name and murmured,
"Issa Lafirin?"
The woman didn't smile, but a small amount of tension drained away.
"It is you! We were told you'd been taken by slave traders. Your parents have been searching..."
"I've returned," she answered, cutting her off. "These people brought me back."
She motioned to Draven, who was half collapsed on the helm, then to Axe, who teetered on the edge of the railing, still gripping the rope in one hand. Her eyes were narrowed, shooting back and forth over all her potential targets. Lazarus stood with the guards behind him, rooted to the ground by her own power. She didn't know where Vaughn or Dominicus were, but she hoped they'd made it their job to protect Lorraine. The untrusting Enskaris surveyed the area as they considered her words. Quinn remembered Issa being a kind girl, one that stood up for what was right, even if she was beaten into submission for it every time. She tried to walk the path true to the lighter gods. Quinn wondered if that was still the case.
"If that is true, then we should welcome them for bringing you home."
"Lafern?"
It was a single command, and Issa lowered her head in submission. Quinn grit her teeth, because this voice was in her memory too, and she didn't miss it. One of the men stepped forward. His long hair had been pulled back, and while over a decade had passed, Quinn recognized the thin, reedy-faced boy who had grown into a man that would make his family proud. The breath hissed between her teeth as he said,
"Even if this is indeed the Darkova's missing child, how do we know it is the light that has guided her home?"
"I believe," Quinn started, "that while much time has gone by, it hasn't been long enough for Enskara to have changed so drastically." He frowned at her words, and Quinn strode forward, stepping over the fallen soldiers on her way down the stairs.
"My return would be a matter for the council to discuss, as I am highborn by birthright."
A murmur trickled over the deck, and in a voice only a shade lower, Quinn added,
"If my parents have been searching for me, I am certain they would have prayed to Ramiel for justice. Now here I am, in the flesh, returned to them after all these years."
Quinn shook her head, biting back the wicked grin threatening to break through.
"If that's not the work of a god, I don't know what is, Edward." "Yes, well..."
He paused, swallowing down whatever bitter words he knew he could not deliver. His eyes locked on hers, and she met the coldness in kind.
"It would seem that your return would be a miracle indeed, if a god of the light has brought you here."
"Yes," she answered through a serpentine smile.
"It would." He shivered. Quinn hadn't missed his underlying jabs. The prick was also higher born, but not so high as her. Even after 10 years, she outranked him in power, and he clearly despised it.
If your desire is to return home, then we should take you ourselves and leave these...
He scrunched his nose in distaste.
People here.
Quinn rolled her eyes. You've attacked their ship and killed half the crew manning it. I'm doubtful that either Ramiel or the goddess Talera would show favor on that. She quirked an eyebrow, and the glower he gave her could have burned holes through her skin, were he capable of any real power. As it stood, she knew Edward to be a passion cleaver of little talent. While a strong one could have ripped away one's emotions, or sense of self, even, he would be capable of little more than dulling any particular feeling. Unlike the water weavers currently on standby to sink this ship, should she let them take her and leave it. That wasn't an option.
Ramiel would also understand that we attacked because an unknown vessel sailed into our territory. We had no idea if they intended harm,
he replied icily.
Perhaps,
she nodded slowly. But then I don't make assumptions for what the gods do or don't believe. It would be unwise, should you assume wrong, that is. She peered at the sky, holding for a moment before slowly letting her attention drift back to him. A dark gleam entered his gaze, and a vicious thrill filled her. She did so love to play with her prey before she killed it.
Very well, he answered after a moment. If you wish to be given safe passage into life, I can arrange that. Your future, and theirs, will be in the hands of the Council once we reach the shores. I'm sure your parents will be anxious to see you after all this time.
I'm sure they will, she agreed. Very anxious indeed. Chapter 2. Enskara. Nothing is ever so simple as it seems, for it is the things left unspoken, unsaid, that illuminate the truth and its secrets. Lazarus Fierte, Soul Eater, heir to Norcasta, observant warlord. As fast as it had started, the fighting stopped. Lazarus wasn't quite sure what to think of it. The way she cut men down and then spoke in that strange, terrible language, as if she were one of them. He shook his head, his eyes raking down her form. While she might appear similar to them and talk like them, inside, she was not like these people. She was dark and twisted and cruel. She was Saviana, whether he wanted her to be or not. And right now, she was saving him his only chance at an alliance. He'd been so close to removing his shirt and letting the Enskari suffer their fate. The ships around them would yield to the creatures beneath his skin, if he so willed it. But the people? They would not give him what he wanted, if he forced it. No, an alliance would be out of the question as soon as he let his beasts loose upon the world. It wasn't his first choice, and if Quinn hadn't interceded, it would have been his only, if he wanted them to make it out alive. Lazarus glanced over. She spoke to the young male who defied her flippantly, condescension clearly coloring her voice, even if he didn't understand the words. The boy seemed to consider something, a darker shade entering his demeanor. Lazarus was only a second from stepping forward when he spoke. She smiled back, and it was all teeth. The boy rounded and yelled something out to the ships beyond. The response that came back was again one that he couldn't understand. The silver-haired, pale-skinned people that had attacked now jumped from the deck. The Enskari entered the frigid waters without a thought or care, and moments later, all that remained was the boy and the girl that had spoken Quinn's name. Her full name, the one he'd never heard before.
Quinn,
he said quietly.
A word?
She stepped aside, murmuring something to the two in that language he didn't comprehend. Lazarus clenched his fists, but didn't say anything to hurry her as he walked below deck. Dead bodies littered the planks, and, fortunately for him, most of them weren't that of his crew. He didn't hear her as she walked down the steps, following behind him, but he scented damp petals and fresh snow. Her soul was a lovely beacon of darkness amongst the light. It called to him, and he pivoted as she approached.
"Explain what's happening."
She quirked an eyebrow, crossing her arms over her chest as she leaned against the wooden wall.
"You didn't listen to me, and we were attacked for your misstep."
She started, and he let out a growl.
"Right now, Quinn. I'm not a patient man, nor do I need to be scolded."
She laughed derisively, the sound stopping him cold.
"That's where you're wrong. What you did was stupid. Foolish. You like to scold me for recklessness, but were I not a native, this would have ended poorly. You owe me for this, Lazarus."
He stood there, stunned by the frigidness in her voice.
"You are my vassal,"
she inserted. "Yes, I'm well aware of the terms of our contract. You dragged me over half the continent, blind to your plans, and now we're here, in a land where you don't know the language, you don't know the people, and I'd be shocked if you knew much about Anskara at all, given your foolish attempt at an alliance." She raised both eyebrows, and the muscle in his jaw twitched. He'd plucked her from the hovel she called a home and gave her a purpose, freedom beyond measure. He paid her well, and he overlooked her violent outbursts. He gave her more than any other vassal in her place, because she was the key to everything. His kingdom, his crown. Had he stolen her from her life? Yes. Had he manipulated and at times lied? Yes. But he had a reason that outweighed anything. It mattered more than any of her faults. But she could also be his destruction. The end to it all, should she not fall in line. He told himself that it would take time, that he would earn her loyalty, her trust, her respect. Yet still, she defied him at every turn.
"I don't know what you think is going on here, Quinn, but I..."
"You're going to listen to me,"
she interrupted again. He opened his mouth to reply, but she continued before he got the chance.
"In this place, with these people, you are walking blind. I know what you desire, Lazarus, but if you have any hope of getting it, I need you to trust me this time."
He paused. The pounding in his head, the writhing of the souls, it made it difficult to keep his temper under control. That tenuous leash he held with Quinn was thinning, and not for the first time he wondered who really held the power here, present circumstances aside. But she was asking for trust, the very thing he wanted from her. His past attempts to manipulate and coerce had gone horribly wrong. Perhaps trying a different approach would give him a different answer. If he truly wanted his crown, and put it above all, then even her infractions would have to wait to be punished.
"I'm willing to listen,"
he began.
"However..."
He held up a hand when she opened her mouth to interrupt him again. Leaning forward, he reached around and fisted her hair, tugging it back so that he could look at her, eye to eye.
"You work for me. You are a member of my house. I don't care what color your skin is because you are mine. You are not theirs. They do not get to keep you. Everything we do here is so that I can secure an alliance for my reign. Understood?"
Her crystalline eyes slanted as her gaze dropped to his lips. Just when he thought she was going to attempt to push him, to push this whatever it was, she nodded once and stepped away. He let her go, the fine strands of her hair slipping through his fingers like silk.
"Trust me to do my part, and you'll have your alliance in the end," she said.
"And for the love of Forsea, don't give them a reason to kill you. Unlike Imogen, the Anskari don't give second chances." The ship came to a gradual stop, and someone yelled from the deck. Quinn sighed and turned on her heel, but just when he started to go after her, the door to his left opened.
"Did she just..."
Dominicus started, pointing toward the stairs and trailing off at the expression on Lazarus's face.
"I'm going to stay here, guarding Lorraine,"
he said, wisely switching topics.
"You do that,"
Lazarus answered tersely.
"Vaughn, go guard Axe and make sure the child stays out of trouble."
The mountain boy who had been cleaning blood off his blade nodded.
"I can handle little pirate."
Lazarus shook his head, running a hand down his face and exhaling deeply.
Above deck, Quinn stood with Draven already in tow. They waited with the two and Skari who had stayed on board. The male started to say something, but Quinn cut him off with a flippant dismissal. Lazarus grinned to himself as they headed away and started down the ramp. He trailed behind, sidling up beside Draven as they followed her. The land of Inskara was a cold, desolate place. The docks were crafted from gray ashwood and lined in rows along the shore. The beach itself was short and mostly covered, but not all. Off to the far end, where dangerous rocks jutted out, young boys and girls jumped into the treacherous waters and stayed below, only resurfacing when the harsh grate of a woman's voice rang out.
"The rumors didn't do it justice," Draven murmured. "I can't imagine Quinn living here."
They looked out into the freezing waters. Tiny islands broke up the surface, scattered throughout. On land, men and women worked in robes of gray, their talk oddly silent for a shipyard. Out beyond the ashwood planks, the land rose up into the hills that led to the Sisian Mountains beyond. Buildings made of plaster and stone were stacked on top of each other, row by row.
Lazarus shook his head. "There's a reason she left," he said.
It occurred to him that despite the odd comment and vague mentions, he still didn't know that reason. Nor did he know where she sat with these people that had once been her own. However, judging by the stiffness in her shoulders and brass knuckles she kept on her hands despite the battle having ended, he knew that not all was as it seemed. She might have stopped them from attacking and convinced the Inskari to bring them here, but she was still on edge, anxious. Her magic left blackened footprints everywhere she walked, not that anyone else could see them. Those soot-colored imprints left behind leaked into the air, giving him a slight taste of her magic, and hostility pounded through him. The emotion was not his own. They stepped onto the cobbled streets. Seashells of the lightest pinks and off-white had been crushed and mixed in with mortar to create the walkways. And Skari children stopped and stared, but with a sharp jerk from the boy's head that led them, parents grabbed their slender arms and pulled them along. There was no screaming or crying of infants, just as there had been no shouting along the docks. If not for the people, largely robed in swathes of gray, Lazarus might have thought it abandoned. It wasn't empty, though, merely silent, apart from the hushed whispers that followed them. They passed a bridge overhead that spanned from one building to another, forming an arch, as they entered a courtyard. Statues of marble rose up in a semicircle around the base of stairs that rose as tall as any building. Columns of white peeked out over the edge of the elevated platform. Quinn walked by the statues without even a glance and started to scale the stairs. He and Draven moved to follow after her when two guards stepped out from behind the marble figures, the spears they held in hand crossing to block entrance.
"What is the meaning of this?"
Lazarus asked loudly, being sure his voice carried. Stone-faced as the buildings around them, the guards said nothing, though Quinn paused and looked back. She spoke in low tones to the boy and girl beside her. Again, the boy answered.
"I'm to go before the council and plead our case," she called down to him.
"Then we are as well,"
he answered. Her gaze grew hard, but Lazarus wasn't yielding.
"I trust you. But I do not trust them. Either these guards step aside, or I go through them. It is their decision."
She sighed and shook her head, but spoke to the boy. Lazarus saw him stiffen and then glance back. They argued for a moment, Quinn motioning to him, and then, just as before, the guards decided to stand down, without a command from the boy. Lazarus narrowed his eyes, slowly stalking through the gap between the statue of Ramiel, god of balance and justice, and Skadi, goddess of the winter. He felt as if their unseeing eyes were following him as he began to climb the stairs. Beside him, Draven huffed.
"I'm beginning to hate this place already."
Lazarus knew his comment had little to do with the stairs and more to do with the cold fixation of the boy that stared at them. The Inskari made a comment under his breath, and Quinn bristled, her left hand tightening as though she were going to take a swing. Muscles taut under the tension, she turned and gave all of them the cold shoulder as she hiked up the rest of the stairs, not losing her pacing, even toward the top.
They trailed after her, and all the while a sense of dread was beginning to thicken in his stomach, as if stones of lead were weighing it down. He swallowed hard, pushing his anticipation aside as he finally reached the top. His boots came down on a flat block of marble, likely cut from the same source as the statues below. Across its gleaming surface, Quinn stood at the base of a temple so great in its grandeur that even Lazarus had to take a moment to peer up at the sloping roofs and the crown molding that surrounded the pillars, through the stained glass windows on a set of double doors that had been cracked ajar, all the way to the people that stood between them. In front of Quinn, a man and woman waited, and while all the Inskari looked similar, the resemblance between the woman and Quinn was too striking to be anything other than familial.
"Do you think those are her parents?"
Draven asked beside him. Neither man moved as Quinn stood, her body language lukewarm at best, her expression unmoved for what one would expect of a girl reunited with her parents. But it was not her body that gave away the truth.
"I do,"
Lazarus said. Her father's gaze was not emotionless, but it was cold, joyless, and apathetic. If there had ever been any warmth inside of her, it would have shivered and died in the presence of such a man.
"I wonder why they never searched for her when she was a slave,"
Draven whispered, his voice trailing off as neither party made any move to embrace. For the first time, Lazarus was beginning to wonder that as well, because the expressions on their faces were not that of parents happy to be reunited with their child. It was that of guilt and fear. It was the look of people who had something to hide. Chapter 3. A Bitter Reunion. "Be wary of those abandoned. You never know which of your mistakes may come back to haunt you." Quinn Darkova, vassal of House Fierte, Fear Twister, White Raksasa. The chill of the ice beneath her boots was incomparable to the frigid gaze of Persinius and Ethel Darkova. With their silver hair and crystalline eyes, they were practically identical to Quinn's own coloring, except Quinn had changed in the years she'd been away. The child they'd rejected and left to the greedy hands of slave traders was gone. In her place stood a woman who had survived many hardships. Her hair was no longer the color of fresh snow, and her skin now bore the scars of years honing her defiance. The black sheep of the Darkova line and her parents' own personal shame had come back from the dead, and it was clear that they were not pleased. Quinn felt a delightfully wicked smile spread across her lips. Not by one brow quirk did they reveal their shock at her presence. No. Instead, Quinn's father merely frowned and reached out, clasping her by the arm and drawing her out of the entrance, away from the temple that housed the council's chambers, and toward the side of the building. Quinn waited for an appropriate amount of time to pass as her father dragged her to the side, before she quickly and firmly removed his limb from her own.
"Father?"
Quinn's eyes were chips of ice as they met Persinius's gaze. He sucked in a breath, as if the reminder of his relation to her offended him. But before he could speak, Quinn nodded for Lazarus and Draven to continue just inside the temple. Lazarus's focus slid from her to her parents before returning to Quinn. She merely shook her head and motioned for him to go. His lips thinned and his jaw clenched, but with a sharp nod and another dark glare toward her parents, he and Draven disappeared inside. When Quinn faced them once more, she could see the slight tick in her father's jaw that belied his rage. He wasn't used to being ignored, even for the brief moment it took Quinn to make sure Lazarus and the others weren't nearby. She raised an eyebrow at him. Ethel was the first to speak, her words sharp and curt.
"What are you doing here?"
Quinn turned her attention to her mother, glaring down at the shorter woman.
"I'm here as a vassal for Lord Lazarus Fierte of Norcasta," she replied.
"You may take your master,"
Persinius spat the intolerable word,
"and return from whence you came."
Quinn's lips pressed together, one hand clenched, but she couldn't act on their words. Not here, not now. She'd coached herself through what those first words would be 100 times over, but nothing compared to actually doing it. She stepped closer, and something in her expression must have warned them of her desires,
Or perhaps they recognized the darkness that had only grown in those long...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?